This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, happy Canada Day to you, Charlie, and to all our listeners.
Thank you.
To The Garden Show.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I'm Frank Proctor, the sous chef of The Garden. Delighted to be with you as we celebrate Canada's 150th. It's quite an accomplishment, really.
That's right. Happy birthday all around.
Exactly.
Either that or 14,000 years, I guess, or something in between.
Yeah. Oh, before we go anywhere else, let me go back to last week.
Yes.
If we may. We had our little, as usual, weekly trip out to Hyde Park, and you brought along that wonderful jam.
Yes.
Rhubarb cherry jam that...
Sharon Kyle made and gave me at the Ennismore.
Well, let me give a little report on what happened with that, because she instructed you not to really share that with me.
True.
So you limited me to one spoonful of jam to try on the toast out there.
And what did you think?
It was marvelous, so much so that I almost cried when you just snatched that thing away from me.
Snatched and ran.
And gone. So, I've been...
You've been hankering for cherry rhubarb jam ever since.
I want to plead my case that I think I should get my own jar.
Your own jar,
yeah.
Frank Proctor. That would be a good...
Up there in Ennismore,
birthday.
Huh?
Yeah, Ennismore. Yeah. It's a bit of a drive, but it's quite pretty up there.
Well,
I'm sure Sharon would welcome you.
I'm willing to travel
to her
for
door.
That jam. I'll tell you. Anyway, what do we got going today,
we'll
my friend?
We'll give Sharon your email address. You guys can get in touch.
Yeah.
Right. So lots going on. Obviously, today's the big day.
Mm-hmm.
Tons going on across the country. Obviously, within Toronto, there's tons going on. I will say the traffic was nice and light this morning.
Absolutely,
which was
very
lovely. You and I think, probably had some kind of meeting of the minds when we were getting dressed this morning.
Right.
We're both in our red and white and khakis, and I notice your socks are also
right
up there. Canada socks. Don't show me your underwear, whatever you do. Okay, so what's going on? Well, I do want to just mention Whistling Gardens, which is a lovely, lovely botanical gardens. It is out. It's a bit of a drive for us, but it's super near Highway 24 and 403 area. There's signage to help you find Whistling Gardens. But today, as part of their celebrations, they're having Free Hugs Day at Whistling Gardens. So every visitor receives a free hug. Sharing our love of nature as proud Canadians. So that's all day today. Bring your free hugs to Whistling Gardens. Next week, Saturday, July 8th, the Bob Cajun Horticultural Society is having a garden tour, tea and market. there's 8 lovely gardens enhanced with displays, refreshments and music. There will be master gardeners on site. It's only $15 to attend, and tickets are available all over the place, including at each of the gardens. For more information, check out www.bobcajunhorticulture.com. The following day, Sunday, July 9th, the very first inaugural Mississauga Garden Festival is taking place. It's a brand new venture organized by the Cloverleaf Garden Club and Applewood Garden Club. This year's event features a tour of 9 private gardens surrounding Clarkson's Rattray Marsh Conservation Area. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so what that is Rattray Marsh is the last remaining lakefront marsh between Toronto and Burlington. So today, the preserved area, which was saved from development in the 1970s, it's full of wildflowers, native tree species, and many birds. So it features several easily accessible trails, including a boardwalk loop that's home to unique and sensitive plants. Mm. So plus these 9 private gardens will be part of that tour. So that sounds like quite a lot of fun.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. And then 150 years of... At the Royal Botanical Gardens, open all weekend, unlike many places which are closed. RBG's open all weekend. There's tons going on. Garden tours, nature connects, art with Lego bricks, discover maples and fossils, RBG tulip bulb sale. So that's where all the tulips are pulled up in the spring and then put out for sale for you to plant into your gardens. Back to nature hike, musical performances, on and on and on. Check out the full schedule at rbg.ca/thisweekend.
All right. And before I give the phone numbers, just want to give a shout out to Shirley, my gal out there, who has a big party planned today at the farm.
Oh, you guys are such party people.
Oh, I know. But she's gone the distance.
She's probably got flags
went
from
to
all the trees.
Dollarama, spent about $100 on all sorts of
Canada, red and white.
The flags and the pins, and, you know, it's done a super job. So I hope the main thing is no rain, please.
I don't think so. They're talking about a little bit of rain on and off today, but not really. I think it's going to clear right up by about 5 o'clock.
Oh, that's great. So, and if there
is
any rain.
Which is great, because in Ottawa, it is going to rain tonight.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
But around here, if you're looking forward to the fireworks, which there are going to be many, all the wet stuff is going to be gone
of
the area by that
time. So where
time.
I live, I can basically I can certainly hear Wonderland, and I can sometimes see Wonderland. So I don't even really have to go anywhere.
Okay, that's cool. Let me give the phone numbers here. 416-360-0740 here in Toronto. Anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And, oh, yeah, if you're a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know. And when you come to the air, you're going to hear that. Welcome.
And if you don't have much going on in your garden and you don't have any questions to ask, which I would be amazed by, we do have a little quiz.
Yeah.
Because Frank was thinking and he thought, well, maybe we should just quiz people on some of the floral emblems for the various provinces.
That's right.
Starting with, what is the most widely used symbol for Canada? What's our official symbol that we use to represent Canada?
Well, think that one over. And meantime, we shall take our leave of you momentarily with the little reminder that please call early, call often, one question per call, and we'll be back to talk to a first-time caller right off the bat. Well, that's great. Okay, back in just a moment here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, let me get my arm-ringing bell, or bell-ringing arm. That's it. Yeah, in good shape. Here we go. Hey, there we go. That's for you, David, in Georgetown. Welcome to the show, first-time caller. Hi, David. Oh, we just had a little bit of a miscue there. There we go. Hi, David.
Hello. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I wonder if you can, first of all, answer that question that Charlie posed, national...
Canada's
flower?
Plant symbol.
Yeah. What would that be?
Canada's plant symbol?
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a test on this show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're testing today. But it's okay. If you're not sure, you don't have to say anything, but it's really easy.
The maple leaf.
Exactly.
You got it. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Good one. All righty. And to your question now. Yeah.
I have a little herb garden in an oversized pot. Mm-hmm. So I have 3 or 4 different herbs.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter noticed something on my dill. So I looked it up, and apparently I have... black swallowtail caterpillars?
Yes.
Do I need to get rid of those? Are they bad for the garden? Or
No, a swallowtail, if you look up what the butterfly looks like, it's a caterpillar when it's a baby or a larva, so it's not a particularly attractive, wormy-looking thing, if you will. But once it'll pupate, and then it'll emerge as an incredibly beautiful butterfly. So, no. You know what? If you can possibly let that swallowtail larva eat your dill and let it do its pupating, it might do it on the plant or might do it somewhere else close by. When it emerges as an adult, you'll be so proud that you raised up a baby.
Hey.
Okay, so it's not going to damage my other herbs or anything?
No, it's just the dill.
So the dill won't grow back?
It will probably if it doesn't eat at all, but that's what it's doing. It's eating to prepare for its next part of its life cycle. What I would do if I were you is I'd go to my local garden center or grocery store before it gets too late and get yourself some more dill.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Let that larva do its thing.
That's very nice.
Get yourself some more. Okay.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right. David. Thanks for joining us here
Thank
on the Garden Show.
Happy candidate, you guys.
Thank you
very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm going to show you.
Yeah,
well, looks like.
Ooh, I'm looking outside. It's looking a little cloudy. I won't mention that again.
Nope.
No. Out to Dundas. There's Ruth. Good morning, Ruth.
Hi, Ruth.
Hello. Good morning.
I've got a question. What's going to happen with the plants that they've just sprouted and there's no growth on them yet?
What kind of plants?
What kind of plant?
Ruth, are you there? Oh, did we lose her?
I don't know. I think. Hello. Oh, there. Yeah,
Ruth. What kind of plants?
Hibiscus.
Hibiscus plants in your garden?
Yes.
So are these shrubs or are these the perennials that come up from the ground?
The perennials.
The perennials. Okay. So that you haven't seen them yet? They haven't showed up?
There's just a little wee sprout on them.
Okay. And how long was that plant in the garden? How many years?
They were planted last year.
Okay. So that's what's going on. Yes. All right. So we had a cold, wet spring. The soil stayed very cold much longer than we're used to, which slowed down all the plants' growth. Now we've had warmer temperatures, lots and lots of rain. Some plants are loving it, like the roses. Some plants are really suffering because of all this massive amount of moisture. What I would do is recognize that perennial hibiscus is always one of the last to show up anyway in our gardens. It's very, very slow to pop through the soil. Just mark it with a stake or put some strings around it so nobody steps on it by mistake and just leave it alone. You may not see a ton of action out of it this year, but it is alive. It is continuing to grow some roots to get established in your garden. So even if you don't see a lot of above ground growth this year, be assured that it's likely to be five times better next year. As long as nobody steps on it.
You're welcome very much. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
And we have to take a little bit of a break here at the moment, but we'll be back to talk to another first-time caller here on The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, we're heading out to your stomping grounds there in Richmond Hill. First-time caller, Gail. That's for you.
Welcome, Gail.
Welcome, and happy Canada Day.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi. Hi, Charlie.
Hi there.
My husband and I met you at the Canadian Star Garden Center last summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we chatted your ear off for about half an hour. But anyhow, listen, we bought my mother-in-law like an 8-foot-high Japanese lilac tree 2 summers ago.
Okay, so the Japanese, is it the ivory silk lilac?
Yeah, the ivory silk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Now, when we bought it, it had some blooms on it. Mm-hmm. And then last summer, it had some blooms on it. Mm-hmm. This year, nothing.
Okay,
so
how much...
Should we be doing something with the tree?
Well, how much sun is it in?
Oh, it's full sun.
Full sun. And no pruning. Did anybody do any pruning on that plant?
No, no pruning.
Because those are the two reasons why they don't bloom. And
but you know,
maturity.
But you know, all the streets here are lined with these lilac trees, and the same ones. And I don't think the town of Richmond Hill's pruning them every year.
Oh, no. Well, that's what I was going to say. If you prune at the wrong time, you can prune off the flowers. So
yeah.
I was just double checking that if anybody had done any pruning, when? Because that's the challenging thing with the ivories. Any of the lilacs, you want to prune them at the right time. So any pruning would take place right after they flower.
Right.
In your case this year, you're not having any flowers at all.
Nothing. Not one bloom showed up.
You know what? They can be a bit inconsistent. The typical reasons, like I say, for inconsistency are things like lack of sun, lack of maturity, which isn't the case because you've had 2 years of blooms, and incorrect pruning. So I would just not panic. I'd just say, okay, so this year they're doing something else. They're growing a lot of leaves, or you know, there's something going on. Obviously, I assume the plant is leaves are green and healthy.
Yeah,
and
healthy otherwise.
You know what? It happens. We get years. This was such a mild winter that I have found there's been typically the flowering has been quite good this year. So few flower buds were killed from the cold winter. So very little tip damage to any of our plants. But I wouldn't be overly concerned. You know, it happens. If it were to not flower again next year, I'd get a little concerned. But okay. But to miss a year isn't unusual.
Okay, so basically we don't have to touch the tree this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just double check that if it is doing a lot of growing with all this rain, that you don't have crisscross branches where, you know, you need to remove one. Look for any dead wood, look for anything that's, you know, damaged. Okay. And typically trees will often grow, and shrubs will do the same, grow branches into the center of the plant, which you don't want. You want your growth to the outside of the plant. Okay. So you may want to do that kind of trimming, and you could do that any day that we have the sun out, and you can actually do some pruning on a dry day.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Gail. Have a great
Don't be a stranger.
Here.
Call again.
Happy day to Siva in Toronto. Hi, Siva.
The same to you guys. Enjoy the day.
Good morning.
I have those little gray mealy bugs that curl up in a ball.
Oh, yeah.
Do they eat the garden?
No. Okay, so the ones that curl up into a ball, they look like tiny, tiny armadillos.
Yes.
And if you touch them, they literally become like a little BB.
Yes.
They're called pill bugs is the common name because they roll up into a pill. They are scavengers. They clean up debris. So you will find them in your composter. You'll find them under your pots.
I know, everywhere.
They're tidying up all the time.
Okay.
So they only eat dead stuff. They don't eat live stuff.
But I went out and I saw them on my zucchini on the leaves, and I was terrified because something is eating the leaf, and I don't know what it is.
Okay.
You know?
I was
wondering.
Is it look like shotgun holes in the leaves, or is it chewing from the edges?
Yes. All over.
I'm seeing earwigs everywhere.
Yeah.
Slugs.
Even the rhubarb. Yep. I thought nothing at them.
Is it because of the wet weather?
Yeah.
Slug snails. Same with marigolds, right? I mean, who eats marigolds?
Yeah.
Earwigs. So slug, snails, and earwigs. It's that kind of a year.
Okay.
All right. So there is very good slug and snail bait out there, which is non-toxic to anything except the slugs and snails.
Okay.
It has to be reapplied after a rain, but is worth putting these little pellets around your hostas, your lettuces, any of your things that are getting chewed. And when it comes to earwigs, not so easy. Typically, we'll just put out a little trap for them and trap them and then empty the traps every day.
Okay, thank you. Enjoy your holiday week.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Hey, let's send our Happy Canada Day wishes out to Hamilton to a first-time caller, and that would be Sandra. There you are. Welcome to the show, Sandra.
Thank you, and happy Canada Day to you, Frank and Charlie.
Thank you.
My husband and I like to garden, and he had planted some large garlic last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they are about 3.5 feet tall.
Wow.
And they're beautiful, and they've got a little tiny crook at the top, and there's like a little bulb, and that apparently is the flower.
Mm-hmm.
And what color is that flower going to be when it actually bursts?
You don't want that flower to burst.
Oh, okay.
If you allow that flower to open, it'll be a white flower, and then it will set little tiny, tiny bulbs called bulbils up or seeds up on the top of that flower stem. And your cloves that are underground, which is what you're really, I think, growing the garlic for, will shrivel as a result.
Okay. So
you can't put energy in both places. So your job right now, as soon as you hang up the phone, grab your scissors, go outside and cut off all the curlicues. They're like little pigtails.
Yes.
So follow the scape. It's called a scape, garlic scape, which is a garlic flower. Just cut them off where they're emerging from the plant. But keep them. They're garlic. So chop them up, throw them in a stir fry. You know, they're lovely mixed in with other food, salad, whatever. Certainly plan to eat them, but don't allow them to stay on the plant.
Okay. So can you dry those out?
Could you dry them? I guess you could. I never have dried them. I've always just used them fresh. But I guess you probably could.
That sounds great.
All right.
So when would we cultivate the garlic stem?
Okay, so you're going to get those flowers off today. Then you're going to keep an eye on the garlic. Right now, all the leaves are green.
Mm-hmm.
In the next few weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, We will, well, sooner than that, but we'll be harvesting in the next 3 to 4 weeks based on the green leaves of our garlic starting to turn yellow.
Okay.
When about 1/2 to 2/3 of the leaves are yellow, it's time to harvest. So exactly when that is, I'm not sure. It's going to depend. Like I said, it's the next 2, 3, 4 weeks at the most. Usually what I'll do is I'll when I think it's time, I'll dig up a garlic and just take a look. The proper time is when you've got the bulb as big as you can, but not so big that the paper tunic, which is the little coat that's on the clove, is all breaking. Like, you don't want that breaking apart. You want the clove to still be quite tight, but you want to maximize the size. So it's usually, you know, it's a test of pulling one up and taking a look, and then, yeah, just pulling them all up usually at that point.
Well, we've got about 25 of them. So,
oh, good for you.
Good for you is right. Oh, and remember, if it's good garlic, hold on to a couple of those garlics to replant in the fall.
Okay. We will.
Yeah.
Right?
Super.
Great.
Thanks, Sandra, for the information.
Oh, our pleasure.
All the best, Sandra. Thank you very much for joining us on this somewhat cloudy Saturday morning.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now, let's see. Oh, to Newmarket. There is Anne. Good morning, Anne. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Charlie and Frank. Happy Canada Day.
Thank you.
You too.
I wanted to find out, I want to transplant a blue spruce tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 4 feet tall.
Okay.
When was a good time to do that?
How long has it been where it is?
Oh, long time. I'd say about seven years, maybe.
So when you planted it, it was a little tiny,
tiny. Yes.
It's another one of those puppies that turn into Great Danes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And when you do transplant this, remember, 40 feet tall, 20 feet wide.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Even though
that's
it's...
what you got to plan for. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. When is the best time? Early spring or early fall? If I were you, I would try and wait till September if you can.
Okay.
And prepare the spot where you're going, where there's going to be lots of room and you won't have to move it again.
Right.
Dig that hole. Make sure it's not pure clay that you're going into. You don't want to put it into a bowl of clay. So dig down, loosen up the clay if that's what you're dealing with. And then, of course, you're going to, when you lift the blue spruce, try and lift it with as much soil attached to the roots as possible. So make sure it's been well watered before you dig it.
Okay.
If it's, you know, if our fall is like our summer, that shouldn't be a problem. But, you know, you may need to water in advance just to make sure it's nice, moist soil. And then pick up that root ball, keeping the soil intact.
Mm-hmm.
Get it over to the hole. Get it placed into the new spot. You're going to plant it at the same level it's growing now or a tiny bit higher because it will sink a bit.
Okay.
I often will use a root booster type fertilizer just to get those roots growing.
Okay.
Or bone meal just as part. And then, of course, water thoroughly when you do the planting.
Okay.
Thank
you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And have a nice weekend.
Thank you. Happy Canada Day to you. And the weekend's going to be great, too. All sorts of goings on that I'll address a little later on in the day. I'll be on the air from 1 to 3:30, of course.
Oh, and that's all you're talking about probably is all the goings on.
What the heck's going on? And a lot going on.
Hey, we haven't been testing our callers.
You know, you're right.
I think it's time to you know,
throw out a little.
Who's next here that's going to be?
Cheryl in Thornhill is mad.
I think Cheryl.
Hi, good morning, Cheryl.
Test. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Canada Day. And I have to say, I feel so fortunate that my ancestors a long time ago chose this country.
Well,
me
now,
too.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
Me too. All right, here's a little test for you.
Uh-oh.
Do you happen to know what the floral official flower is of Alberta?
Of Alberta?
Yeah.
No, I think dogwood is BC. Is it dogwood in
Dogwood's
Alberta?
Dogwood's British Columbia. You get a point for that.
Oh, okay.
And the next caller can be looking up Alberta because I'll be the next one. But they did name a political party after that particular flower.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. On to your question.
I have a little mini rose bush, and I've never had roses. You know, I've just put these little mini ones in. And it was starting to come out in some lovely buds, and a nice little bunny rabbit must have nipped them all off.
Mm.
Except one, it broke. It kind of bent the stem. I've left it, but and it still has white coming out on it. But the other ones are just sticking up in the air. Should I cut them right back or just leave them alone?
Well, I would cut the stems back to the next leaf.
Okay.
Which will promote more growth. But I would also, you're going to have to do something like a little cage around.
Well, I put some bird netting bought last year to keep squirrels away from little tomato plants. So I put that around it.
Okay, that's fine. And that, you know, try to not have the netting sit right on the rose, because, of course, the bunny rabbits can still chew through the netting. But try and put it up on some stakes of some kind or, you know, make a little tiny,
put something around it.
Like a miniature tomato cage, that kind of idea, a little bit of wire around it, and then put the netting over that and you're good.
Okay.
But that's the best way to control one little hungry bunny.
Yes, can't blame him. He's got to eat, too.
I guess, it's true.
Okay, well, have a great Canada Day. And
thank you, you too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Just want to get the phone numbers on the air for those of you who might be tuning in for the very first time. Welcome to Zoomer Radio and to The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Phone number, if you're in Toronto, goes this way, 416-360-0740. Anywhere else in the province, toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And we shall continue talking to and wishing Happy Canada Day to our listeners in just moments.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
You know, Charlie, we've been traveling around the countryside, but let's kind of stick to home here, just maybe around the corner here in Toronto, is Don. Good morning, Don. Welcome to the show. Hi, Don.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent.
Great.
I have a couple of wisterias. Three of them bloom. One does not. And I've cut the roots, and I trimmed it down because if I don't trim them, they take over my house.
I was going to say, I hope you have a big house with four wisteria.
Yeah, they're in four different parts of the yard.
Okay.
But this one in the front that I have that I wanted to bloom more than the ones in the back doesn't seem to bloom.
It's never bloomed yet?
It's about 12 years old. No, it hasn't bloomed.
In the 12 years it hasn't bloomed?
No. Not at all.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing about wisteria. But you do prune it. So pruning in late winter is one of the most important times to prune.
Right.
And you're taking away at least half of the prior year's growth at that time.
I do.
Okay, leaving just a few buds on each of the stems.
Right.
And then again, after it flowers, people will often trim. And then sometimes people just keep trimming all the time, every 2 weeks during the summer, just to try and control them.
Well, I have one of these things that's 12 feet long, so I just do keep doing it once a week. So.
Okay, yeah, so you just keep taking
it. I think I want the branches to mature so that I can get some buds there, but it just doesn't seem, the one in the front just doesn't seem to move.
Is it, how much sun is it getting?
It's getting actually a full day sun.
Oh, wow. And is it possible that it's ending up with, for like lawn type fertilizer, too much nitrogen?
No.
No.
I don't put nothing in because I'm afraid it's going to take over my house.
I was going to say, keep the nitrogen well away from the wisteria. Well, okay, so there are a couple of tips about, you know, banging on the trunk of the plant to stress it, which sometimes can cause blooms to form, flower buds to form. Of course, any banging takes place with a rolled up newspaper, not a stick. You don't want to damage the bark or anything like that. Also, the idea of training the wisteria to grow horizontally, the side branches horizontally rather than upright, can also, that bending of the stems can often force new little buds to sprout and for flower buds to form, just like it works with a rose, same idea.
Right.
Yeah, and it sounds like you've probably done some reading and you've looked at...
done everything.
Yeah.
Everything I could possibly do with this one.
Have you ever root pruned it? Have you ever gone in with a shovel and you know?
I went right down to the with a shovel. I went to above the foot. I did get some of the ends of the roots come up, and I said, well, I got some anyway, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a stubborn one. I don't know.
Yeah, and it could just be, I mean, sometimes it's a bum plant, right?
Yeah.
You know.
They say if it doesn't bloom, it'll never bloom. So I try not to take buds, pieces out of there to start another one.
Right.
Because I know that they won't do anything.
No, they won't. Well, we always say it's a minimum of 6 or 7 years before they'll bloom, but you've already given it 12. So, you know, you've certainly shown your patience.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, one of the recommendations I always say is when you're going to buy a wisteria to plant it, try and buy one that's blooming when you buy it. That way you know the color and you know it blooms.
Right, right, right.
Because sometimes that just
sounds
seems
like
to
that's
happen.
The route you might have to take.
Yeah.
Okay, Don.
So,
thank
sorry,
you.
I have no great suggestions because you sound like you've got it pretty well thought out.
Yeah. All the very
good
best and happy
that,
Canada
Don.
Day to you here on Zoomer Radio as we go to Coburg.
Let's ask Flora.
Oh, yeah,
the
Flora.
Question about Alberta.
Sure.
She's got a lovely name.
All right, Flora, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, hi.
Happy Canada Day.
Thank you. Same to you.
Charlie.
Yes.
Can you please tell me why my mint did not grow this year and as well the purslane? Do you know what a purslane is?
Yes.
We eat that. We put it in the salad.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pick it up from a field where men and pets don't pee
yeah, exactly.
Themselves.
Yeah,
it's
I hear
delicious.
You. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very
and
edible.
It's healthy for you.
Succulent. Brain food, actually.
Yes.
You can buy purslane at garden centers, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's so purslane's a common name. The proper name is portulaca. but there's different portulacas out there. Some are the very ornamental, flowery ones that are very small, which I don't typically think is the more edible ones. The purslane that you're talking about has a shiny, succulent leaf. It grows completely
with
flat to the ground, and gets covered
it's
in yellow flowers. Probably all the rain is what's caused the problems for the purslane. They've just rotted in the field. It's just been too wet for succulent type plants. Which,
I do weeding and I notice the black mushrooms.
Yeah.
Much.
Lots of mushrooms because all the organic matter that's under the soil is super saturated and growing all kinds of fungal matter, as are unfortunately many of our ornamental plants have mildews and fungal diseases because of the moisture. So I wouldn't, you know, purslane will be back likely next year, but I doubt where you're going to see much this year.
Oh, brother.
And
you
see,
Charlie, do you know who needs the rain? Florida.
Yes, I heard. Yeah.
And droughts.
Some serious. So often, that the Southwest or the South just gets drought ridden. But you mentioned that your mint didn't make it through the winter?
Yes, because I transplanted it from the ground to a plastic pot.
Okay. And what did you do with the pot for the winter?
Leave it outside.
But did you bury it in the ground or just leave it above ground?
Above ground in the plastic pot.
Okay,
the
plastic pot was a good idea because you don't want mint taking over your garden. But your overwintering of plants in pots, either you tuck that pot somewhere really, really protected from the northwest wind and the sun and the all that, or you bury the pot in the garden for the winter and then pull it up in the spring.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Okay.
Better chance of success. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Flora. Have a wonderful weekend, long weekend we've got coming here.
I don't think Flora wanted to answer my question.
No, well, we kind of rushed right along.
Yeah,
didn't we?
She was all over her question.
Let's give a shot to Peggy out there in Ridgeway, who is a first-time caller, by the
nice.
Way. Hello there, Peggy. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Good morning, and thank you very much. I have to tell you first, it's my very favorite show.
Oh, lovely.
Well, isn't that nice?
I hope our boss is listening.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope so, too. How about the Alberta Wild Rose?
Yeah.
Good for you.
All
excellent.
Right. First time caller. She gets the question right. And now go ahead.
Well,
ask me a question, see if I can get it right.
I actually don't have a question. I have an answer.
Oh, cool.
Oh, all right.
The lady with the scapes, if she's still listening.
Yep.
I bought mine for the first time at our market in Ridgeway here last weekend.
Who, the scapes or the garlic?
The scapes.
Oh, you bought scapes. Okay, yeah.
I did. And the farmer who sold them to me said, put them in the freezer, you'll have them all winter.
Oh, right.
So I brought them home and cut them up and put them in my freezer, and I've been using them from there, and they're perfect.
I know. I flashed on freezing them, actually, when I was just sort of hanging up with that woman. She wondered about drying them.
Yes,
and I said, I guess you could, but I think you're right. I think freezer's way better, because then they're, like, fresh. You
they're
know,
perfect.
Sort of
I
super.
I used them last night in a stir fry.
I know.
They're perfect.
Delicious. Wow. Yeah,
and
we did the same.
The gentleman with the wisteria.
Uh-huh.
I have found with my wisterias that if they continue to not bloom for you, you have to get into that major feeding route and cut it off.
Oh, just cut,
and
cut,
then the
cut,
energy
cut.
Goes up into the plant instead of sending out all those wonderful little runners.
So wait, so major root pruning?
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that, he had that, done that.
That major feeder root, the big one, that's the one you have to get cut.
Hmm. Ah,
wow. I wonder
well,
if Dawn's still listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, all right. So,
if you guys can have a great day.
Find
thank you so
that
much
feeder.
For the show. I love it.
Thank okay. you very, very much.
Thanks, Peggy.
Appreciate that, Peggy. We're going to be talking to another first-time caller located in Kitchener in just a moment here on Zoomer Radio. And what's the question you might ask a provincial plant?
Oh, well, let's go real easy. What's Ontario's official flower?
Okay, we'll see if Andy in Kitchener knows that when we return here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, let's move
tools.
Oh, hey,
we
Andy.
Were just we were just talking about trying to get out old rose bushes. So that's why it sounded silly when the mic came on. But you were just saying you got sliced by a rose that bit you, and you were trying to. So it's all about the right tools.
Yep, and gloves,
leather gauntlets, long sleeves, long pants, and I'm suggesting a sawzall to cut the roots, a chain around the bumper of the pickup truck, and you haul the rose out, and you do not let it touch your body if you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now, let's see a first-time caller, Andy.
Yes.
We'll get him to the air with the bell. Hi, Andy. Kitchener.
Hi.
Hey, before you ask or have anything to say, I just want to know, do you know Ontario's official flower?
Trillium.
Yes. Excellent.
Wonderful.
Welcome to the show.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Happy Canada Day.
Well,
and
thank you.
Too.
The same to you.
My question is, we have this plant flower in the garden, and it's called foxglove, I believe.
Yes.
And I was reading up on it, and it said it was could be dangerous. I'm just wondering
how dangerous it
is.
Only if you chew on it.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I mean, so everybody's heard of digitalis is the proper name of foxglove, and there is heart medication that people take. I can't remember if it's to speed up or slow down the heart, but either way, the digitalis was the original plant form and has a long, long medicinal history for use, you know, for hundreds, if not thousands of years to treat with heart issues. And now we use a synthetic form, obviously, when people take the pill. So just don't chew on it. Or if you're worried, like if you have dogs or cats or small children who you don't really trust, it's not going to hurt if you touch it with your hands. It's
right.
only the ingesting it where you would have some effects from it.
Oh,
so if you're at all concerned, remove it. But it's not something that's – there's no absorption through the skin. It's strictly in the mouth.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Good question.
Yeah,
Andy.
There's a lot of plants like that they are considered poisonous, but digitalis, you only need a tiny, tiny, tiny bit. Some plants you need, like a tomato plant, for example. You would have to eat a lot of tomato plants before you were super sick and throwing up, but they are considered poisonous. The tomatoes aren't, but the plants are. So sometimes it's a quantity thing, but who would eat a lot of tomato plants anyway? It doesn't they don't taste very good. And I think you'd find the same with digitalis. It's not a very good tasting plant, so it's not going to get chewed in a big way.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Andy, for joining the show for the first time.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Look forward to the next call. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we have another caller online. Mm-hmm. That would be Kathy in Markham. Happy Canada Day. Hiya, Kathy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Happy Canada Day.
Thank you.
I have a question about the eggshells. Put them in the garden. Mm-hmm. Do they help?
Yeah,
and
sure.
What they do?
Okay, so eggshells do two things. One is you crush them up. As fine as you can, and they will slowly, over a period of many years, dissolve. And what's released from an eggshell is calcium and phosphorus and important nutrients for plants. So it's not a quick fertilizer. It's a very long-term, slow fertilizer, but eggshells do add nutrients. The second thing they do is, by crushing them, they are like little shards of glass.
Yes.
So they're quite sharp. Now, this is, as far as I'm concerned, the year of the slug. and so the slugs and the snails that are crawling along, they crawl over some sharp eggshells, and their little tummies get all
lacerated
yeah. and all
like it.
And all their liquids ooze out, and they shrivel up and die. And I'm like, yes. So I'm not a big fan of slugs and snails, so they do that as well. So they're slow release fertilizer, and adding that grit and sharpness to the soil will help control some of the crawling insects.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, Kathy,
thank you.
Thank you, and happy Canada Day to you. We can squeeze one more call in because I think Marianne in Toronto has a little bit of helpful information for us. Well, let's find out. Good morning. Welcome to the show, Marianne.
Good morning. Happy Canada Day.
Thank you.
You too.
As I was, I had a question about dianthus.
Mm-hmm.
The flowers are dying.
Mm-hmm.
If I deadhead them, mm-hmm. will they bloom again this year?
Depends which kind of dianthus it is. It's a perennial, I assume?
It's a perennial.
Yeah. Typically, the perennials only bloom in the early summer, but you're right, you should shear them. You know, just give a deadheading, just a kind of a haircut to the plant.
Right.
And that will help it spread. You'll get have a bigger plant as a result, and obviously more flowers next year. But I don't know of any perennial dianthus that is ever blooming. As far as I know, it just blooms once a year.
Okay,
there are some annual dianthus that will continue to bloom through the summer, but not the perennials.
Oh.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Also, coffee grounds will deter ants.
Mm-hmm.
I put them around my doorstep so they don't come in the house.
Oh, and it works,
really?
Yeah. Eh? Huh. They don't like the smell, I guess, or something.
The caffeine.
Yeah, I know. They're all awake.
Caffeine. Keep them awake so long. Yeah.
Okay, so that's good to know, because you know what? This has been an ant year, too. Slugs, snails, and ants.
Golly, we're fresh out of time. Look at that. We've got about 15 seconds left in the show.
Is that all?
Yeah, honestly.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
Well, so what are you doing? You got a big party tonight. You're on the air this afternoon telling everybody what's going on.
Yep.
I'm out for dinner with some family members celebrating a birthday and then be watching fireworks somewhere, I'm sure.
Looking in the next room there, Sebastian, our operator, he's probably got a whole bunch of stuff planned.
Well, yeah, because he's young, so he'll be out there looking for trouble.
Partying, you know?
Yeah, thanks, Sebastian. Thanks to all our great callers. Thanks, Frank. See you
next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.